Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829-623-1889 or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter your homes, your cars, or wherever you're picking up the program today and share with you the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word today, I just want to take time off to give you some basic information about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministries, and we are temporarily located at the Radisson Hotel on Ryson Road. We are used on the first floor using the San Fernando room, and our services is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. So if you have been listening to the radio program, it is a blessing to you, and you'd like to come and visit us on a Sunday morning, remember our temporary location is at the Radisson Hotel. It's on Ryson Road in Port of Spain. We're on the first floor, and the services every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Also, you have been enjoying the ministry of the Word. We want you to continue feeding on God's Word, so check out our website. The web address is fogwm.org. Check us out on the website, and you would learn about the ministry. You would also have access to almost all of the radio programs we have done over the years. I think it's from 2011 come forward. They are all half an hour broadcast. You can listen to the Ministry of the Word over and over. You can download it onto a CD, onto an MP3 player. You can burn it onto a CD so that you can have it for your personal use. There is no charge. It's all free. So take advantage of the Word of God and allow it to transform your life. Then you can call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone will be there to connect with you and give you more information. Amen. Now, we want to get into the Word of God. We have been studying the subject, Am I Exercising Real Faith? And it's a question, because as a believer, we are called to walk by faith. That is what 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Meaning, if I'm walking by sight, I am not walking by faith. And if I'm walking by faith, I'm not walking by sight. So, and it comes to us receiving from God, faith is the spiritual law we work through when it comes to mankind dealing with God. When God deals with us, hear me, when God deals with us, he doesn't deal with us based on faith. He deals with us based on grace. When we deal with God, we don't deal with God just based on grace that he presents. We deal with God based on faith. So our response to God is always a faith response. So therefore, you have to always ask yourself in any given test, trial, anything you're trusting with, am I exercising real faith? Well, in order to recognize that, we began to look, first of all, at two kinds of truth. We established that there is sense knowledge truth and revelation truth. And based upon where I am, whether I'm in sense knowledge realm or revelation realm, has a lot to do with whether I'm exercising real faith. We also looked at the fact that there are two kinds of faith. And one is the Thomas kind, the other is the Abraham. We covered the Thomas kind, and we have been in the Abraham kind of faith. And in the Abraham kind of faith, we began to look at Romans 4, verse 17 to 21. So we want to go back there, Romans 4, verse 17 to 21. And in Romans 4, verse 17 to 21, there are some things that Paul the Apostle brings out in those verses that relates to Abraham's walk of faith. And if we follow that pattern, it will help us stay in the place and answer the question, yes, I am exercising real faith. The first thing we establish is that Abraham had God's promise. When God speaks something to you, you could ignore all that is taking place and walk by that as much as is possible. When I say ignore as much as is possible all that is taking place and walk by that. You say, why all as is possible? Because faith is not an isolated spiritual law. It works in conjunction with other laws. So I have to say as much as possible. But you have to have God's promise first. Then number two, he did not consider his own body. His body was the circumstance, and he did not consider his body. So if you're going to walk by faith, exercising real faith, one of the things you have to do is make sure you are not considering the circumstance more than you are considering the promise. You need to be considering the promise more than you are considering the circumstance, and that's important. Number three, he did not doubt the promise, but gave glory to God. And that is where we stop. We looked at Romans 4 and verse 20, where it says, he staggered not. Watch this, Romans 4 verse 20. Awesome scripture. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, you know, the word of God is always full of life and giving birth to new facets of revelation. I've read this verse so much times, and I just saw two things inside of here that I never saw before. It said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, what that means is that unbelief can cause you to stagger at the promise of God. But unbelief is not the only thing that can cause you to stagger at the promise of God. Look at Romans 4 verse 28. It's for Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That is what happened in reference to Abraham. Some of us, and some of you who are listening to me, you stagger at that which God has said to you, and it may not be because of unbelief. It may be because of other things entering in, according to Matthew 13, that choke the word and cause it to be unprofitable in your life. It's not that God's word to you doesn't have promise. It's not that God's word to you doesn't have the ability to bring itself to pass, but sometimes we stagger at what the promise God gives us through many different things. For Abraham, it was through unbelief. For you, it may be through something else. Are you following where I'm coming from? For example, I remember ministering to someone some years ago, and the problem was not unbelief. They had belief in God. The problem was, if they go through with what God wants them to go through, how will that impact their family? And that was their issue. Their issue wasn't unbelief. So you could stagger at the promise, and it don't have to be unbelief. Are you getting me? For Abraham, it was unbelief. So but this point I'm bringing out is that he did not doubt the promise, but gave glory to God, and he didn't do it based on unbelief. The second thing I saw in this verse here that I've never saw before is, like, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And my mind went quickly to a portion of scripture in the book of Ephesians, where the Bible says, I think it's Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me read that, say it again. Be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of his might. But when it came to Abraham, it says he was strong in faith. Well, is it possible that being strong in faith is also equivalent to being strong in the Lord? Is it possible that being strong in the Lord is also equivalent to being strong in faith? You cannot separate the two. In order for me to be strong in the Lord, I will have to be strong in faith. And in order for me to be strong in faith, it means that I will also be strong in the Lord. It's like water and wet. You cannot separate wet from water. Well, you cannot separate strong in faith from strong in the Lord. They are the same. Now, in reference to this, so don't go take it outside the circumference that we are teaching. He said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the Lord, or strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, there are some things, reasons why Abraham could do something like that. And one of those reasons is found in Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, full stop. We don't need to add anything else there. God is not a man that he should lie. So, because God does not lie, it means that I can be strong in faith. Just like Abraham, I don't have to allow unbelief to cause me to stagger, because the Abraham kind of faith understood that God does not lie. Now, brings us to the fourth step Abraham made that was found in Romans 4, 17 to 21, that made him as an individual, you know, have strong faith. And as I said, there are two kinds of faith. You have the Thomas kind and the Abraham kind. So, number four, here's it. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Hear this about Abraham. He was fully convinced that what God had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Look at Romans 4, verse 21. Powerful verse of scripture. Romans 4, 21. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promise, he was able also to perform. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. Now, watch this. Full conviction or being fully persuaded are based on two things. One, the fact that God had promised, he cannot lie. Two, the fact that he is able to perform it. You see, you have to take those two things into consideration, because there are people who have made promises to us but were not able to fulfill them. There are people we have made promises to but we were not able to fulfill it. But when it comes to God, when he makes a promise to you and he makes a promise to me and he makes a promise to anybody, he doesn't just make the promise, he is also able to perform. So because Abraham knew God's ability, see, he knew God's character, God would not lie, but he also knew God's ability, he was able to be fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And this is one of the things you need to make a part of your life if you're going to experience the Abraham kind of faith. Am I saying it right? The Abraham kind of faith. Yes, I'm saying it right. The difference between the Abraham kind of faith and the Thomas kind of faith is that Abraham took God's word as literal. Abraham believed in God's word. Abraham did not consider his own body. And Abraham had confidence that God was able to perform his word. Now, that has been a major problem for a whole lot of us when it comes to trusting God. We struggle in that area. We stagger. We really go through a rough time because we are not convinced that God is able to perform his word. And here's what I heard a minister of the gospel, Bill Wilson, yesterday, made a comment. I was looking at him on video teaching at a conference, and he made a statement. He said, whenever God gives you a promise, one of the things you need to do is take that promise and begin to chew on it. chew on it for days, chew on it for weeks, chew on it for months, until what God has said to you come alive on the inside of you. He said, when it comes alive on the inside of you, you become fully persuaded. Now, he didn't use the word fully persuaded. He was like, you become convinced that, listen, it doesn't matter what I see, feel, hear, or touch, God is going to come true. I am using the phrase fully persuaded. You know, and yesterday while doing that, the Lord ministered something to me because he dealt with me about leaving my job and coming full-time into ministry. And don't use that one. There are two of them going around in my spirit to use as an illustration. Let me use the first one. When he told me it's time to do pastoral work, I remember with my wife, I said, listen, I said yes to the Lord, and I told him, I'm going to follow your plan, so. I said, but I don't just want to hear sense that it is now time for pastoral work. He said, what do you mean by sense? Well, let me divert a bit. Ministry has phases in it, in that God takes you from one phase to the next. For example, before I started my traveling teaching ministry, I taught for years in our local church with my pastors, assisting in Bible study, assisting in Sunday school with a teaching anointing, however, not standing in the office of a teacher. I did that for years. As a matter of fact, I am always saying that is how I develop the ability to communicate, to teach the Word of God and communicate the truth. They gave me the opportunity, and I taught for years. I taught on Tuesday nights. I taught on Sunday nights. I taught on Sunday morning. I taught for years. You understand where I'm coming from. And that helped me to grow and develop. But then that phase was over. The Lord said, now I want you to believe me for meetings in local churches. And I started to do that, and then that opened up doors, and I went for 8 full years in a traveling teaching ministry, teaching primarily on the person and work of the Holy Spirit and so forth. And then I started to sense a change again. He said, no, 2 years before I said yes, he said, I've put a pastoral anointing in you, and I don't want you to say that you don't have the ability to pastor again. And because people used to tell me, you know, with your teaching ability, you'd make a good pastor. And I'd be like, no, I don't want that. So after that, it took me 2 years to obey. But eventually I did obey. And then I stepped into the phase of pastoral ministry. Well, now in pastoral ministry, after going into the 14 years, the Lord is now adding some more assignments to that. So what I'm saying is that ministry has phases. You go phase one, phase two, different facets, and God would move you and give you a little more information on the assignment he has for you. For example, I am on radio, and being on radio is not about getting people into my church or anything like that. I'm on assignment. Before I even started my traveling ministry, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me once, and he said, your ministry is going to touch the nation. And I was like, how is that possible? Because at that time, I really wasn't. I was still teaching Bible study and so forth. And he said, through radio, you're going to go on radio, and you're going to do what you have to do on radio. And I remember there was a radio station called 730 years ago. And that's where I first started, even when I in the traveling ministry. And then we stepped into pastoral work. And then from in pastoral work, that's it. We just blossom into radio ministry, and we have been on the air for many years. And it cost us, I was counting how much money we spent over the years, and we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years being on the air. And if you ask me, does that translate into souls? In minimum. But does that translate into the body of Christ learning about prayer, faith, healing, prosperity, the personal work of the Holy Spirit, grace, law? Oh, yes, it does. So you stick to the assignment, and when God is ready to change, he changes. I don't know how I end up on all of that, but that may be to help somebody who is listening, because sometimes we make adjustment and do things in ministry because we see other people doing it, but that should not be the motivation. What should be the motivation is your assignment. What did God call you to do? Find out what he called you to do. Stick with it. And when the time comes, he will change the assignment. You understand? I don't know who that is for, but let me get back here. I was talking about being fully persuaded. So I was sharing with you how I needed to hear from God, because when you hear from God, you know. So when it was time for the transition into pastoral work, my wife and myself, we went to our pastors. We let them know 6 months ahead of time, this is how God is leading us, so. And then we started going into the church and just spending extra time praying. And I remember at a certain point, he said, well, why were you doing that? Because besides God leading me, I wanted him to speak something out of his word into my spirit, so that this is what he has said in reference to this assignment, that I can stand on that word and believe him as I continue the journey and following and obeying his plan. And here's what he spoke into my spirit when we were there praying. Proverbs 14:11. It says the tabernacle of the... Let me see if I can get it, because I'm showing you. You need to hear from God. Proverbs 14. That's what made Abraham fully persuaded. Proverbs 14 and verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown. Now, here's the party minister to me. But the tabernacle of the upright, or of the righteous, shall flourish. The tabernacle of the upright, or the righteous, shall flourish. I just got a word of knowledge. There's somebody listening to me. You are in business. You are in business. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you that this part of the verse, the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. You are led into business by him. You are doing business. I could sense the anointing now. You are doing business because of him. He is saying to you, the business will flourish. The tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. So receive that utterance in the name of the Lord Jesus. Declare it over your business, over the business that God has given to you. God has assigned you in that. You are following the plan. Come on, God, step out here. The tabernacle of the upright, it shall, the Lord is saying, it shall flourish. I know what you're seeing and feeling doesn't look like that, but we are not called to walk by sight. We are called to walk by faith. Receive the word of God. Amen. So this is what the Lord ministered to my spirit 14 years ago. And I start saying it, and I still say it up to this day, that the tabernacle of the Lord, it flourishes. That means focus on God's word as a ministry. It's flourishing. It's flourishing numerically. It's flourishing spiritually. It's flourishing financially in the name of the Lord Jesus. My people who will come to church and fellowship with what they flourish socially with one another in Jesus' name. You need that group working together, because you had to do things to the kingdom. You don't need them fighting against one another. But the tabernacle of the upright. So he spoke that. And after speaking that into me, I became fully persuaded, fully convinced, because he can't lie. Amen. It means that whenever things go wrong, or, you know, things are, you know, not flowing as it ought to, I can't use those things as a yardstick to determine whether I'm in God's will or not. What I use is what he said. The tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. I look around. Hey, it's flourishing, you know. It doesn't matter what is going on. It's flourishing. Hallelujah. So understand where I'm coming from. You become fully convinced that God will perform his promise. So we know he can't lie. He gave you a word. How, but what about the fulfilling of the promise? You have to believe that he is able to do such. You have to believe that. Believe that. Believe that he is able to do such. Believe that. Believe that. Believe that he is able to perform. See? And then that becomes challenging, because sometimes we really don't believe that God is able to perform. See, in order to believe that God is able to perform, one of the things you have to do, and hear me good, one of the things you have to do what Abraham did. What is that? He did not consider the circumstance. Now, I didn't say to be irresponsible with the circumstance. As much as possible, do not consider the circumstance. You understand me? You see, but why say as much as possible? Because again, as I said, faith is not an isolated spiritual law. It works in conjunction with other spiritual and natural laws. Okay, so but you had to balance that thing. Know when God wants you to. You know, like with me, he said, okay, time to leave a job. Good. So I could leave my job and go into ministry. So I'm dependent on him. Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. I'm expecting that even though I'm in pastoral work, I am going to eat the good of the land. Why? Because I'm willing and obedient. I'm following the plan. And the promise is you will eat the good of the land. So final. Well, so that means that I cannot consider what's going on in the economy. I can't. I can pay attention to it, but it mustn't guide my decisions when it comes to kingdom advancement, when it comes to my spiritual walk with God. It must not guide and control my decision. What must control and guide me must be what God has said to me. And I am going by what he has said because I'm trusting his ability. I can get up every morning and look at what he has created. He has ability. I look at myself and the life that he has transformed. He has ability. I remind myself of the people he has ministered healing to who are dying with cancer and so forth that I see. He has ability. Are you following where I'm coming from? When he says, my God will supply all your needs according because he has ability. Ephesians 3 says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask and think according to the power that worketh in me. Why? Because he has ability. And that is one of the ways you know that you're walking by faith, because you're paying attention to these four different things Abraham paid attention to in his faith walk. Well, I am out of time. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. We want to hear from you. If this message has been a blessing to you, call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829, and someone will be there to connect with you, to pray for any prayer requests you may have, to come into agreement with you relative to that, to minister healing to you, to minister the baptism with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, to minister salvation to you. So you have been blessed by the program. We want to hear from you. Call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829. Then we want to hear from you. It costs money to be on the air, and we want to give you an opportunity to sow into this that you have received or are receiving and help us continue to do what God has called us to do. You can go to any First Citizen branch and sow a generous financial seed in Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry account. You get that? Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry. And the account number is 175-8015. And you don't have to stand in the line. You do it through fast deposit. Then call us and let us know that you have sown a seed. Call us at 623-1889 or 746-0829. Then don't forget, check us out on the web, the World Wide Web, fogwm.org. And ton loads of material is there for you. Amen. It has certainly been a joy sharing God's Word with you. We'll be back next week. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.